See, it's a shame because I was going to hit the button, but I got busy telling my phone to shut up twice because mm-hmm. it's just not been responding to my inputs.
Yeah, but, you're so close to trying to catch me off guard, but no.
Yeah. Did you see me watching the clock?
So, yes, I did.
Yeah, I'm like
too happy.
It's yeah, we're like face to face practically. So it's like she knows where my eyes are when I'm not making eye contact, you know. So
yeah, there's no one else to look at more or less. Anything.
Not to mention that's probably like second nature to girls, right? Making sure that when the guys are breaking eye contact, they know where those eyes are going. So, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So
Andreas isn't here, so we're going to have to introduce the topic. So
the topic is vague. The topic is kind of, we're chatting about factions and what the factions might be doing. And interesting thoughts of the information that they might have and what they might be doing. And then we kind of specifically got tied to 12 months again, because we really, really, really want to know.
I'm sorry, but it's all we've got, man.
I know. Unless you want to go back to casting for the 30th time. We're going to speculate on factions.
Well, I mean, we're definitely on the 30th month of talking about 12 months, which is ironic, but you know.
Time is fluid. It doesn't necessarily make sense.
It just, what kind of got us on it is like we were talking a little bit about the factions and what they were doing and what we might have been doing in their shoes. So it's a little bit of second guesses again. And then we were like, well, what if we broke it down month by month? Like when does 12 months start? Like, are we starting in January or are we starting in June-ish when, you know, they struck the deal, you know? So, because that makes more sense because Mab is absolutely watching the clock on that. You know, she's like, did you know that a year is precisely X number of seconds? Like, that's Mab. You know she's counting it, you know? So,
So she was pushing for what Harry and Laura to get married by, like, the next day. And then everyone pounced on her and said, no, it has to have a courtship period. And so she said a year, I'm pretty sure. I wonder if she did the special thing of a year and a day or something.
Right. I was thinking that too. Like a year and a day, it's just, it comes right off. So,
yeah. But Peace Talks Battleground happened in, I believe, June, because it was certainly Summer's domain when the Titan was attacking in order to have Mab at her weakest. So it might have been just before the solstice, if going off of the idea of Summer Night. Because the changeover of the stone table, that's when Mab was at her weakest right then. So if 12 months starting basically at the end of that conversation, we go through summer, fall, winter, spring, and then summer is supposed to be the wedding, which is a lot of people get married in summer. It's a very normal time, but it also, again, puts Mab and winter at the weakest of the year, at least in that hemisphere, to have this all-important wedding that is a gigantic alliance. I assume Sarissa will be at the wedding, but I wonder if Titania will show up.
She's going to send an emissary. Unless Mab is there, then she kind of has to be there for balance, right?
So Mab has to be there.
Yeah. Mab's officiating. She's the one she's wearing a suit, right? You know, and
she's giving away the bride.
Right. Yeah.
Oh,
well,
God, no,
she's giving away the groom. Like, imagine Dresden in a dress being walked down the aisle. So we all know who still
probably be there as a puppet and completely the fiction that everyone can see through is still matters to Laura. So, of course, he will be there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that'll be interesting. Yeah, there's just so much, because it's like, if it starts directly after Peace Talks, which makes sense, if it starts in June, then we've got, you know, at least 6 months of Harry wallowing still, right? You know, as much as anything, because it's like, what my argument against that initially was, we already know what's happening in December, because that's when good people and what's the other one?
Good Folk and Christmas Story.
So
Christmas Eve. But then we also do know, like, the law took place, I think, was it either late summer or early fall, like kind of the August, September time. And little things happened not very far after Battleground, because Harry was still nearly comatose.
Right.
And the fugitive would have happened also probably around a September timeframe.
It definitely felt like fall. So
yeah, but they didn't want to bother Harry with the idea that Mister had just gone crazy. So they were trying to let him sleep and recover. But Maggie was in school, so that's gotcha. A bigger. I don't know. So we know a bunch of things that happened, and these could just be small mentions off in the background of like, oh yeah, and then Mr. destroyed Michael's truck, and we just Great. We don't need to know about it. Similar to like the reference to backup that happened in Cold Days of Harry saying right. there was this woman and a kid, and I get here and it wasn't even her kid, and it's like what happened here?
And right. I want a quip of Michael either borrowing the van or taking the bus or something like that, right? Like, that's the only quip we need. Is like, hey, Michael's still taking the bus? You know, like...
yeah, so probably the van, because...
Right.
I mean, public transport is just uncomfortable.
Michael's man enough for it, so...
that's true.
Yeah. And I mean, it's Chicago, so train, depending on, you know, where the rail lines run for, you know, compared to the castle and whatnot. But yeah, I guess he's going to need something to haul the tools if he's still renovating the castle. But, you know, mm-hmm. like, and depending on where all of that falls in the time frames and stuff. But like, so all of that aside, right, we've got little mileposts, if nothing else and whatever. But one of the big things that comes to my mind that's going to happen during that time is his birthday.
Yeah.
So what's going on with that? Is Laura going to bake him a cake, or is, you know, like somebody going to take a shot at him? There's a major event, right? There's almost always a major event on his
thinking
birthday.
Thinking of the timeline, especially as leading into Mirror Mirror, I have always assumed Mirror Mirror would kick off Halloween. Right. And so my initial assumption is 12 months would go from Halloween to Halloween. Sure. But that, it doesn't seem to line up with at least Mab's diktat. So yes, the birthday is going to be something significant. It's easy to think of it. Someone's going to take a shot at him. Someone's going to try to take his mask or mantle, or he's going to have to do something like that with someone else. Laura definitely is going to have to give him some form of a gift. And I'm guessing that this might be the point where it's going to be something actually thoughtful and not just rote. Because he's going to, that I think at the transition point where he's going to start thinking of her as not an enemy as much as they've worked together.
She's still a succubus. So,
yes. I mean, but that might be the point where you expect of like her actual feelings are going to start showing through.
I mean, I'm a fan of that because like I said, I personally think she's caught legitimate feelings for him, you know, but I guess we'll see, you know, we'll see how that plays out and whatever, but. Yeah.
If she does, and if by the point that they have to consummate the marriage, she gets burned by him and right. whatever,
oh,
like,
oh my God, that would be a hilarious reveal, right? Because it's like, he's avoided her this whole time. And then it's like their wedding night and it's like, ow, shit. And they're like, so oh,
he's
fuck.
Still protected from Murphy. Right. Because he burned her in Battleground a couple of times.
Gotcha.
But if somehow he loses that, which that would also be very hard. But if so she...
Halloween. Just kidding. I mean, look, some hottie's jumping out of a cake is all I'm saying. That's...
totally could
Mr.
be.
President. Yeah.
Well, yeah. On one previous birthday, he had Maeve Vajazzled dancing in front of him. But he's used to refusing all of that. Yeah, that'd be weird. I don't think Harry would be able to handle even an unwilling courtship with Laura and also having side action.
No, yeah. I mean, it's going to be pushed on him, right? I'm not saying... You know, like maybe he even doesn't succumb or whatever, but you know, I just don't see, like, again, I feel like we've talked about this in previous episodes and previous discussions on this. Even if it's not Lara's doing, maybe somebody else in her house, since they know how all of this works, maybe it's Mab. You know, maybe Mab is sending him sexy telegrams. Ooh. Just try
maybe Mab takes away his protection herself.
Well. Yeah, It's like soon. Mab's like, it's not even our first time, Harry. Let's
exactly.
You know, yeah. Got to make sure you're ready for Lara, so, you know.
You will not disappoint.
Right.
Oh, God.
This is just going to get more topic. Crass if I continue this. Yeah, because I'm like, she's also winter, man. So it's like, anyway, yeah. If he can perform in those conditions, he can perform at any time. So. But. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. So anyway, so the point is, so we know the protection's in play. If that's the case, somebody's got to try and work it free one way or another. We know what that's going to involve. Mab has the most reason to do that, assuming, like what we were talking about, are they only doing the union as a political move? And does that require an heir? Because he's a knight. He's not a king. He's not, it's not like uniting the kingdoms. He's a minor vassal. So does that still require the heir?
I mean, in a lot of contexts, it would. I just don't know if that applies to Supernatural. Right. I don't know if it applies to
They're
white
old timey,
court
though.
Either. They yeah. are old timey, but she's right. a white court succubus. And
think I about it from Mav's perspective, though. Like Lara could give a crap, right? Not to mention the fact that Lara is probably painfully aware that it's going to be exceedingly difficult to have a child, because yeah. that's another part of the mix, right? Like,
yes.
you know, not only
it doesn't happen
Thomas
very often.
Fluke, he was a fluke that survived, so he's a double fluke, you know, like, well, because all of his other brothers got killed, you know, so well, I don't imagine that, I mean, that's going to happen in this case, but I'm just saying, you know, they're supposed to be rare, you know.
So Thomas asserted that it is very rare for a white court to even procreate because of the damage of the phobophage.
Right.
Phobophage? Phage. No. Whatever. I'm calling it phage.
Yeah. The demon.
So. Yeah. And so that's why he was so terrified of poor Justine. But right. we do see that Papa Wraith had, what, like 20 kids at
just
least?
It just means he was busy, you know.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
hundreds of
he
years.
He was
and...
super busy.
Yeah.
But also the I wonder if it's the effect of the white court being the father versus the mother. Because if we have not officially seen... Oh, wait, no, we have. Cesarina had a child. Never mind. But how extreme is it for a white court to actually give birth, because the phages would be fighting each other?
Right. Okay. Unknown, I guess, you know, so.
Yeah. And whatever other types of extreme might need to be taken for a child to be successful. We might find out if an heir is required in this deal. They will go into it. Like, he might need to do some right. extra things, or she might need to be feeding a lot more, which all of this makes sense, but
right.
We haven't seen it. And it is certainly going to make Justin uncomfortable.
Sure. Well, so all of the supernatural weirdness aside and everything, part of the reason why it comes to mind is like, I've got it in the back of my mind that for, you know, a more medieval mindset, you know, Mab came to power in 1066 and all of that stuff. Right. Does the marriage count before it's consummated, right? Because I thought that was part of the point, is that you had to be consummated in order for it to count officially. And that's why you had all of these other rituals, which I think if you know, you know, and we don't need to get into the details and whatever. So
yeah.
obviously some of that's not going to apply in Lara's case, right? You know, because she's a sex vampire, but.
Right. No, you know. But I do think that consummation is going to be a sticking point. It's going to be right. crucial because in
and
the
that's
same
why
way,
it's like from there, does it matter that there's an heir, you know, is Mab going to put pressure on that, you know, which is after 12 months technically, but you know. I was still curious about that, because if that is the case, maybe Mab's over there giving him an elbow and just be like, come on, 6 more months, you're going to bring it. So, you know, but hope you're ready next week to perform your husbandly duties. You know,
here's a bunch of blue little pills. They're even winter colored just for you.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I mean, like, maybe that's when she starts applying the pressure where it's like, you know, the girl jumps out of the cake and she's like, you know, you've got to do this in like 6 more months, right? So I'm just trying to get you ready, you know.
Here's another uncomfortable topic. Molly. I mean, as she has said, she wants. Yeah, I'm not saying that. But I find it uncomfortable to think about, because every single time Dresden has had the thought, he's been uncomfortable with it. He does not want Molly that way.
Yeah.
But she has to make this wedding happen. That's been tasked to her.
I feel for the girl, but I'm going to tell you, there's a long list of people who don't care. You know, like that's her problem. Always has been, right? She's got the feelings. She's been rebuffed. She's held on to the feelings, and she's still got feelings. And so it's like, you can feel for her because that's a tremendous, you know, weight to carry around and whatever. But at the same time, like, that's a her problem, you know, like.
It absolutely is. Yeah. But now it's going to become Dresden's problem, because in the discussion of he needs to lose the protection from Murphy. Wouldn't he prefer someone he trusts?
Oh, Jesus, you're going to be like that. Well, so the worst part about that is, like, is it feasible that Mab could give her the order? You know, like,
I mean, yeah, so. she might not be able to, because out of cold case at all, he That's might still true. Be under the same problem, but I'm sure she's going to have the discussion.
Yeah. So, okay. I'm going
to
say,
how far does the sexual contact need to go to remove the protection? Because Murphy, it wasn't a full, I don't want to get demonetized. Right? It was an exchange of love between them, and there was contact, but it wasn't the whole thing because she was not capable.
That's fair.
So it might not need to be as much.
So anyway, demonetized or uncomfortable, I'm just saying, like, you know, so it does he really need to write another plot driven sex scene, like, you know? So I just say we got a little bit into the weeds for this one, but, you know,
what else do we have?
Other factions, you know, other factions.
Yeah.
Well, unless we're going to spend the next 40 minutes writing a smut novel, I'm just saying, like, we could go back to being a little vague. Someone's going to have to pause this
fade
episode and
fade to black.
You know, yeah, right.
Yeah, other factions. So, summer. My brain goes back to summer. Assume Titania will be there if Mab will be there, especially if it's happening in summer. That.
Oh, it'd be so funny. Sorry, I just had a scene pop into my head where, like, Titania shows up, but she's wearing, like, all black with the veil and everything because she's in mourning, because she's like, you shouldn't be getting married, you should be dead, what is going on here, you know? So anyway, sorry, go ahead.
I still think about the discussion, very very short conversation that Mab and Titania had, Mab complimenting Titania on her kindness and Titania relating back to duty. They do have shared duties, I guess, about how to protect the mortal world.
Say duty one more time.
Duty.
But also respect for each other and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah.
And I wonder in which mask or entity Vaderung would be there. Would he be there as Vaderung, or would he be there as Kringle? Well, it can't be. He could be there as Kringle, but can't be a Santa Claus.
That's a good question. Or would he be there as, I don't know.
Maybe he'll be there three times. He'll be there as Vaderung, and then he'll be there as Kringle during the Wild Hunt, and then he'll be there as Santa in the winter.
The Wild Hunt proceeds. Oh my God, that's the bachelor party. It's the Wild Hunt.
Yeah, so. Got to blow off some steam.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
So Kringle and the Earl King host the. Yeah, it sucks that Thomas is going to miss that. That's terrible. And he can't be the best man. Who's going to be the best man?
Oh my God, if they can get Thomas out, because obviously
Michael's going to be the best man.
I was going to say it's either Michael or Billy. So,
yeah,
but it's their shared brother being the best man.
What do you mean?
Because it's Harry's brother, but it's Lara's brother.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
He should have been maid of honor. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, right. Do a weekend at Bernie's where they literally, they just bring the crystal in and stand it up in the corner and be like, yeah, Thomas was here. So,
mm-hmm. Well, he could have been officiant in that way. That would have saved on both of it.
Right. I expect Mab or somebody of Mab's choosing is going to do that. You know, I see Mab Molly. Bringing the suit back from Summer Night. That's all.
So. Oh, she's totally going to wear the suit.
Yeah.
That just seems like her. But I Mab officiating makes a lot of sense because it was her deal. Forcing Molly to officiate would also make a lot of sense because, again, it's her deal. And
yeah.
And Molly gets to have that dumb joke because I married my best friend today to someone else.
Right.
Or have Leah do it because she's a romantic.
Oh, that just makes it triply awkward if Molly is, you know, had to break the seal, you know, prior to that, like you were suggesting. So.
Well, yeah, it's either they either take a very hands-on approach and it's going to be one of those three, or it'll have to be some neutral arbiter between the two factions.
Ivy.
Right.
For instance. Yeah. Oh, fuck, Ivy. Yeah. Because she's at the Accords. That also makes a lot of sense.
What about Marcone? He's a Baron.
He is a Baron. I'm sure he owns a ship somewhere, so he could definitely marry people.
Right?
Yeah, he probably owns one of the casino ships.
Well, yeah. Lara has her own destroyer, though. Does she bring the Navy captain in to...
Yeah, the senator.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, God. See, of course Marcone is going to have to be present because he's the Baron of Chicago.
Yeah.
But Marcone absolutely knows that this is two people who are his enemies teaming up. Not with him.
Ooh, yeah. It's tough because, I mean, I see your angle and that sort of thing, but he also, he feels like he's got Harry pegged. So yeah, like that's a really compelling thing that we haven't really talked about because he's basically in a shadow war with Lara right now.
Yeah. And they are competing
in
territory.
He definitely cat's paws Harry and, you know, to the point where he had certain magical bullets made just in case Harry decided to try and do something, you know, and he needed them. So he's definitely ready to straight out murder Dresden. But
so,
yeah,
the cat's pawing of Harry is one thing that Harry's going to resent. But if Marcone's in charge of the bachelor party. Ooh. And if he gives Harry some amount of power or protection against Lara, maybe not on the feeding, I don't know, something of like, here's something to use against her if she gets out of line.
Marcone's not going to take a shot. He's not an idiot.
No, and he knows he's going to give a gift to someone who's getting married. And that gift is going to be some form of either protection or weapon to use against Lara that Dresden might need to use. And Dresden's going to be the point to see that, oh, he married a monster. This monster's getting out of line.
I don't know. I'm not following you. I don't hate the idea, but I'm not following you. But the part that made me think that he's not going to take a shot, but it's going to hurt him a lot, is the fact that he doesn't want to cheese off Mab. And Mab mostly doesn't care if Harry goes off and gets himself murdered. But I'm not sure if that extends to the wedding. Like, she might be pretty cheesed off if somebody fucks with the wedding. So
I don't... Mab is... No, hold on. Marcone is smart enough not to fuck over the wedding. But Marcone also knows that Mab wants Harry alive. He needs to be smart enough to keep himself alive. But he can indebt Mab to him. Marcone can indebt Mab to Marcone by doing something of a protection to Harry against Lara. And making sure that it happens.
I feel like the wedding, like, I feel like if Harry needed protection from Lara, that's Harry's problem, right? I feel like that's where Mab would see it. Be like, you know, you are Winter Court. This is, you got to work this out. You know, I feel like that's one of those things where it's like, if one of her vassals murdered Harry, she'd be cheesed off about it, but she'd be like, you know, good play. You get a promotion, get out of my fucking sight or something like that. You know, so I don't know if she'd be so worried that Harry can't handle Lara. And yeah, that's part of where I don't follow, but you know, maybe Marcone tries, you know, maybe Marcone, but like, what would he give him? You know, like what magical secret weapon would take out a White Court vampire?
It doesn't necessarily need to be a weapon to kill Lara. Harry's capable of that. Maybe it's something that would be a magical protection against the feeding. I'm not sure about that. That would also allow him to not be burning Lara so that the consummation can happen, but he's safe. He's not being fed on.
He's going to give Harry one of those rubber suits so that, you know.
I was going to say, that's going to be a pretty convenient artifact and or spell to introduce in order to make that happen, that he could keep his protection, but also, you know, consummate the marriage, but also then they don't ever have to have sex again because he'll be still protected.
Yeah, why do you have this, and why is it in my size? Like, those are two disturbing questions.
How did you find this? How old is this?
Why does it fit like a glove?
Oh my god.
Yeah, so anyway.
The real question is, who does Harry have sex with to get rid of the protection before he has sex with Lara?
That was a huge discussion. You missed
the first 20 minutes where we got
you almost... Dirty-minded humans.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, the director had many ideas on the subject. I just suggested there might be a cake, but, you know, like...
Were any of them Lucio to make Andreas happy?
No.
Because that seems like the easiest route to take. I mean, just like to have a casual one night fling with.
No, the discussion was around Molly and how far she'd have to take it to break the protection. So, you know, that was capable,
or Matt herself.
Well, I was going to say, in order for Harry to break the protection, he'd probably have to take it far enough where he woke up broken, like Ramirez did.
Well, and that's where we pulled it back a little bit. But, you know, the counterpoint there was that we're not sure that he and Murphy ever actually did the deed.
Fully.
Just that they did adjacent, you know, like what, third base? Is that what that is? Is that what the kids say? But you know
what? I'm not a kid anymore. I have no idea.
I was pretty sure they went all the way after the, you know, with the cast and everything. That was the whole, you know, you can still, I'm not a China doll. We can do this.
Gotcha.
Well,
which is why he was, again, you know, sort of re-upped.
Well, we'll see.
Because I don't think third base is enough.
Terrible suggestion, because like what I had suggested to Molly is that at least it would be someone that he trusts.
Like, unless Lucio got mind whammied again, I don't see it happening, guys. So
yeah, there's that too. But also the faction part of it, as this is someone who has been excommunicated from the White Council, is marrying a monster of the White Court, is a monster of the Winter Court. Why would Lucio get any closer to him? Even if she cares.
She likes to live dangerously, you know?
She does.
I imagine she's one of like two or three people in the council who's probably still would talk to him at least a little bit. You know, her, Rashid, listens to Wind.
You know what? I'm really curious what McCoy's going to say about it all.
Nothing good. Yeah. What he's going to say, he's going to drop a fucking satellite on the ceremony. That's what he's going to say about it.
I know. I was like, it's crazy because I'm starting to think, like, are some of these guys going to go from minor antagonist to major antagonist over this thing? Like, is Marcone going to take a whack at them? Is McCoy going to take a whack at them? Even after he killed Dresden and regretted it, would he go further again? Or I kind of feel like I'd almost expect him to cool it a little bit and just be like, boy, I tried to warn you, you know, so you can't come crying to me this time, you know?
You know, I think he's going to be kind of in like Dresden wallow mode, where he's just kind of going to be off drinking and whatever.
I think he'll be in the party, the bridal groom's party, groomsman.
I very much doubt that. The only way that happens, like that he's an active part of this, is if he has a complete change of heart and comes to Dresden. And even then, I think Dresden's going to be like, is he just doing this so that he can smush her on the altar?
Yeah, well, would he be there in the flesh to protect Harry if something broke out? Or is he the guy kicking in the doors like, yes, I object to this fucking wedding, you know, like, and now Harry's in the awkward state again of like
that kind of objection. You do so at the Wrath of Mab. I mean, like that has to be a serious objection, like bigamy, which presumably neither one of them have a problem. Harry's not been married before. Lara has been married briefly, she said. Unlikely that this is a problem.
That guy didn't survive the night. That's why briefly. Yeah.
Yeah. But like it, this would have to be a violation of some form of accorded or fey law for anyone to have a serious objection. I kind of hope someone does it though.
I mean, to be fair, if anybody's going to kick in the door, not really giving a shit about any of that, it's going to be McCoy.
Right.
Both in his role and in his personality.
Like, does McCoy get dogpiled by a bunch of winter, you know, that are there to provide security? Probably. Does he fucking do it anyway? You're goddamn right.
Does he do it anyway? Does he blow them all away with a hand wave and then do it anyway?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, like, he comes in and he's like, before we begin, does anyone want to get out? You know, like, he's going to have one of those conversations.
Exactly. Or just,
son, don't. You know, like, I know I'm pulling Captain America lines and everything, which he won't be in this case, but still, like, he is absolutely going to try and diffuse some of that with a look before he breaks out the Black Staff and tries his hand, you know, but like Harry has taken out multiple, you know, vassals at the same time. Like, you know, McCoy is going to be ready for it. He's going to come in with his fucking invulnerability shield going because he's not an idiot and who knows what else, you know, but Harry's like, I didn't even know you could use circles like that. And he's like, when you get to my age, you learn a thing or two. So
We did that without any single vampire being involved.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
God, I didn't even think about that. What a shame, you know?
Yeah. It's going to be a big fight.
The building was on fire, and yeah, it was my fault, Haas. What are you going to do about it?
The neighborhood was on fire. Like, we got the next great Chicago fire.
Yeah, it's like Chicago's already a wreck. What the fuck do I care if I break one or three more buildings?
Yeah, what's the venue? They're going to bicker about that a lot. Lara's going to want it somewhere on her territory. And Harry's going to say no. He doesn't want to do it at Chateau Wraith.
Just do it in the castle. A castle is a perfect place for it. He's got the space.
The castle roof, maybe, you know, protected. It's his territory. I don't hate that idea. Like, my first thought was the garden, but then I was like, that's kind of Titania's domain, so I'm not sure if that would make sense.
So the castle makes a lot of sense to me. One, it's Harry's domain. And two, that is where the bargain was struck. And also, that is where the accords, the peace talks, happened. It is already a place where people are going to meet and have big discussions.
And three, he's the man. So if we're going by old world rules, you know.
She has to move into that dingy old castle. Old, new, old?
I mean, whatever. She'll have a room there, but this is Lara. She's not.
No, like, it just gets too... You buck know. Up against his, you know, chivalrous nature again. Be like, well, you know, you're the man, so I have to defer to you, even though she's smirking about it, not really deferring.
Is he
going to
carry her over the threshold?
Yeah, obviously. How else are you going to let her in past the wards?
Oh, God.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's a big literal deal, you know, like, wow.
That's why a bunch of those old stories, I think, are, you know, disguised brides and grooms, so that they could carry them through themselves and, like, invite them in.
That's wild.
This is great.
Look at this. We've talked about this 30 times and we're still covering new territory. That's amazing.
This is why we are the premier people on the internet. And I don't just mean in this topic. I mean in general. I mean, we are the premier people on the internet.
I throw my hat in the ring for a few
topics, but yeah. That's what she said. I think we're going for that. Yeah, I was like, that's a slam dunk. Yeah, didn't catch you while you were still had it in your mouth. We could have had a legitimate spit take, but you know, also what he
that's
said.
That's what she
sorry,
said.
You know, yeah.
Oh man, oops.
That's terrible. So anyway, sorry guys, we're just, you know, this is us.
Named this title "Sex Puns."
Yeah. Right.
Well, the castle has a dungeon, and I mean, she's a white cord vampire, right? So I'm sure
it's not even the first time she's got it on in the dungeon. Let's be real. Oh, she's like,
are you kidding me? She probably loves that place.
Well, I'm just saying this literal dungeon, right? Because she was seducing the guard and everything. So
that's true too.
Yeah. Yeah, she'll definitely be the one to have those coy, like, dirty quips about, like, Harry, this reminds me of that time. And he's like, well, shut up. It doesn't remind me of the time, so.
Yeah, and she's definitely got some, like, thorn manacles, but fun time version.
I have such terrible thoughts.
Jeez.
Is Mab going to insist on witness?
Fuck right. Yeah, and you know who's going to have to witness it. It's going to be Molly.
Molly.
Ah, jeez, guys.
I'm so sorry.
I'll be in my bunk, so, like.
So will they, conveniently.
I can live with that once.
It's going to be horrible. I assume Michael will be there. I don't know if anyone else.
Like at the consummation or?
Possibly.
Or the wedding.
Yeah. The bet on
you'll be the guy outside making sure nobody tries to like break in and murder them.
Yeah.
So like literal night, him and Butters and Sonya.
I would say sure. Billy and Georgia, William and Georgia would definitely be there. Their own wedding was fucked with. They are very paranoid about it.
Ooh, I like
and their that. Little girl would probably be the flower girl, right?
No. Maybe? Lacuna. Come on. So? She's just throwing
so Toots the ring bearer.
You know Dresden's got his own little girl to like be a flower girl, right?
Very good point.
That's true.
But
fine.
We would probably try to keep her away. I'm guessing as exciting as a wedding is, he doesn't want Maggie anywhere near these people.
Just to give credit. So
yes, Toot will thank be the you. Ring bearer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jonathan, good job. I dig it, you know. Like, I mean, the little people are going to be there in force, right? They're running security, or at least part of it, because they are literally the Zalord's guard. So.
If Lara falls for Harry throughout this book, like, actually
when?
Does.
Not if. When.
Sure, whatever.
Thank you.
Thomas already said that she has a ring-shaped scar from touching the wrong wedding ring from someone. If it is actually a token of love at some point when exchanging, she might get burned from it.
Maybe. I mean, it's the 21st century. Maybe they do some kind of token and then she gets one tattooed. Like, you know, I don't know. So.
Sorry.
So she would have a permanent love scar on her and it just burns her every day.
Like, I don't know. Is that how that would work? Like, you know, does if you hand her a picture of a wedding ring, does it burn her? Like, you know, so
no, it would have to be. I think the physical, just a tattoo is funny because a tattoo is like a seal or a scry or some, you know, you could, right. It would have a connection much more and it would be permanent and they're, on her at all yeah. times.
They're literally bound at that point. Harry's like, oh, I can use that circle for some things. So for some protection magics or
using a wedding ring as a spells. Circle for magic. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like we're talking wedding rings, but I mean, like the dress could be a symbol and all of this other stuff. So like, you know, she's in legitimate danger if she catches real feelings for Harry is the thing, but would it be able would to burn work? Her and all of those things before
right,
they
right.
consummate, you know? So like
right?
that would be the loophole, you know? So
of course she's going to wear white.
Right. I mean, she's a white court vampire.
Exactly.
She doesn't match the purity of the intended yes. symbolism, but yeah, like
that's really, I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe it's like a silverish, you know, like one of those, like it's platinum, you know, or white gold, yeah, you know.
She's going to go white, like
yeah.
00001 hexadecimals.
Yeah. Like I didn't know you could get that white. Like this isn't eggshell. This isn't, you know, like
porcelain.
Some adjacent. Yeah, it is white. So. Supernaturally white. That mm-hmm. that would be a thing Dresden would say. So.
Mm-hmm. Wonder if she'll break out the old Rolls Wraith again for their whatever getaway vehicle.
Oh, for sure. She's yeah. she's got an old timey, you know, limo. Or Mab does.
Or the tricorn comes back.
Okay.
And Harry ties a bunch of Coke cans to the back of it, you know, as the just married, like, jingling yes. thing.
Of course. Yes.
Of course. So, I guess in terms of, forget to just keep speculating about this, and Laura, if my guess is that whatever birthday gift that she gives Dresden is going to be some.
I would never do that to McCoy.
Yeah. It was a great idea. Yeah. So if
Halloween is enough time for him to start seeing her as a potential friend instead of an enemy, what next thing is she going to give him a Christmas gift?
Sure.
Yeah. She almost has to, right?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, once you've crossed the birthday stage, then, you know, like, it just makes sense. They would at least do something. I don't know. They're adults. They don't necessarily need to exchange gifts, but right. So
yeah, she'll go over to Michael's for Christmas dinner. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have to be in public. They can't just hide away in the castle or the chateau. They have to be seen. Doing
Christmas at the castle. That would be fun.
Yeah. But Harry spent Christmas at the carpenter's.
Yeah. That was this past Christmas. This is going to be new Christmas.
No. Because that Christmas was right after Battlegrounds, Christmas Eve.
Right.
Right. So that Christmas Eve takes place in the middle of
Assuming that is going to be part of this?
I assume that 12 months is going to start like July 1st, right after Battlegrounds. And so the other small stories are going to just be references. And Christmas Eve is going to be one of them.
Well, we would have to start post... whatever that last short story was. Fugitive.
I don't think so.
Yeah. The problem is I agree with you. I would think that it would have started at least after good people and, you know, that Christmas and whatever.
Well, yeah. And the mouse short story that just happened, there's a bunch of stuff that we just saw post with Harry wallowing. Right.
But there's no chance that I imagine Mab's going to give them a 6-month grace period on the year that she wanted in the first place is the problem. So that is the story is going to have to start. If it's meant to be the 12 months after peace talks and it's meant to mostly cover the 12 months that she Harry and Laura are courting, that's going to start immediately, you know, there.
And we saw Mab, in
the grace period things. Was the year. So not yeah. 6 months in a year, you know,
but we saw in, I think it was little things, little people, you know, the toot one, that Will was already talking about the next date, essentially. They're moving on. They have to do something every month. It was either one had already happened or one was about to happen.
Right.
Yeah, so there'll probably be vague references to the events that happened in these short stories as time goes on. Yes. They just won't be the focus.
Hold on a second. In the law, they were still meeting with the lawyers, weren't they? Was it the law where... he talked about his day and how Mab and Lara's lawyers were still arguing about something. So
I think there was also a reference there. It could be that the law happened way quicker than we were expecting. I was expecting August or September, but if it happened July, then that also fits.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it didn't really specify. I mean, there was still active construction rubble right there when he was running away from that bear totem thing.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, obviously that could take a while to clean up because a lot of shit got wrecked, but it seemed like it was pretty close to right after. Because, I mean, he was still, you know, in the immediate throes of all his feelings about what was going on.
Yeah, it was the first real... bit of him getting out of the malaise and doing something that was helping someone else, which was helping him. Yeah. My mind went to a different, slightly different topic. I do wonder what the White Council is going to think about the whole thing. It's obviously monsters marrying monsters, these aren't good things. But are they going to try to stop it from happening? Are they going to try to attack at any point?
If they wanted that, they should have not kicked him out.
Right.
Because as much as they are arrogant and want to have it all ways, they can't actually have it all ways. You kicked him out. He's not a wizard anymore. So all you have is the purview of the general laws. And this breaks none of them.
Right. But they might do the very annoying thing of just, we're watching you. And any little slip up and we will attack at
Yeah, any that's point. Fine. You could have Ramirez show up and be a dick again, and then Harry can shoot him in the face, and then I'll be happy.
And then Molly's going to have to be there to stop Ramirez again.
That would be funny.
Yeah, it would. Maybe then Harry will learn what happened to Ramirez and why he's so bitter and broken.
Nah, you don't kiss and tell. Because Molly's going to look away shamefully, and Ramirez is going to look bitterly, and there will be no words exchanged, but I could feel in the air the palpable tension between those two, and yeah. I knew there was a story.
Harry will get the very graphic picture from very uncomfortable looks.
Well, yeah, I could see Molly, if she had to be involved with security and whatever, and she just shuts him down with a look, because it's like, I already kicked your ass, I feel bad about it, but don't make me do it again. You know, but yeah, I feel like
Ramirez, I kicked your ass and I didn't even know I was doing it.
Right. Like, so. Yeah, I feel like the White Council would have to have observers, and it just makes sense to send Ramirez and a team.
It also makes sense for the Black Staff to show up and be part of the ceremony, to just be observant and be able to act on anything that happens.
Right.
And yeah, protect his grandson.
Yeah. Or kill him. So, like,
sometimes
you got to kill someone to protect them.
Yeah. Right. And Harry thought the same thing at the end of Cold Days, or not Cold, Changes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if Kincaid will be there. I assume Ivy will be.
Kincaid will be hired as like outside security.
Mm-hmm.
No, but
like,
what would Kincaid be doing?
So I assume Ivy will be there. Therefore, Kincaid will at least be watching. So I think that if Kincaid was brought in as security help. Also, maybe kill me again.
Kincaid's drunk in the back somewhere. He's got the sunglasses and the trench coat. Like, really? You couldn't find an actual disguise? Like, you know. But yeah, I don't think Kincaid would have been, like, if he was invited, he wasn't expected. You know, if that kind of makes sense. Maybe. I don't know. But
you know, I, on a topic of what we almost talked about, of characters we want to see again, is I did really like Kincaid, but also he's got to have words with getting Murphy killed. Like, Harry, of course, blames Rudolph and blames himself. And, well, sometimes when Murphy was with Kincaid, she got hurt. She, like, broke her wrist or something, but she didn't die.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's the real concern there is, does Kincaid take a whack at Rudolph?
Maybe.
Does Kincaid have an axe to grind? Like, did he have legit feelings, or did that ship already sail? And he's like, well, that sucks. She was bound to get killed at some point anyway, you know?
I was going to say, he's been around a good long time. I don't think he caught feelings like that.
I think he could have feelings as well as be practical about it. Knowing that she was in a dangerous life, this is the kind of death that she would have chosen, similar to what Sigrun had said about, like, you don't get to take away the magnitude of what she accomplished just because she died. But I also think he can have an axe to grind and a gun to shoot.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Because, yeah, my first thought is that he's grieving over it, which is not a good thing for a hired killer, but...
He's been grieving for a while.
Yeah.
But this is one he can actually act on. Ivy can... take care of herself now, but he's still going to be watching her. But allegedly, he can act on revenge.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's certainly, I'd say that's like 60% likely in my head, you know, where it's like better than half, but sure, there's other things. Like, he might, you know, he might be chill about it. Like we've said with the whole, like, it was a warrior's death and, you know, we live in a dangerous job and whatever, but, you know, the fact that there's like a personal focus item, like it's extra awkward because does Harry try to step in and stop it? Like, who's going to save Rudolph? Because he's a dead man. Like, if Kincaid's involved, like Kincaid's killed wizards and, you know, fallen angels, like that's just a dude. That's not even a challenge, you know? So somebody's going to have to defend him or he's just done, you know?
Right. So Harry had 2 Knights of the Cross to stop him.
Yes.
Kincaid's not going to have that.
Right. And even if he did, how much does that matter? You know,
it doesn't. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
How many Denarians did Kincaid take out? Granted, with, you know, a sniping position and a bunch of other stuff, like
Kincaid, two or three, seven at least. I thought.
Yeah.
I don't think he took out seven.
Not an idiot. So.
I don't know. I guess I have to do a reread. Oh well.
Darn.
Yeah, I think it was more like two or three. Because they only lost, what, five in the aquarium, and Harry took out one with the tank. It was small favor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right, like, I know when Tessa is talking about it, it's like, he took out so-and-so, and I think mentioned so-and-so also, and he's like, oh, yeah, the hellhound, he's hunted us before. So, yes, over the course of his life, I'm sure it's seven or more. But in that place at that time.
Do you think, okay, so it'd be book 17, 18. What book are we on now? 18? We're, God, I can't 18. Count anymore.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. 12 months.
So it's not a Denarian book, but I guess I just had the thought of, would Nicodemus try to fuck it over anyway?
Nicodemus is wallowing. Would Tessa do it though? Or what's their girlfriend?
Rosanna.
Like Rosanna?
Rosanna, yeah. So.
Yeah, I don't think they give a shit.
Right. But I mean, like, similar to the Marcone thing, are there other factions that have something to lose in this where they might take a whack at it, you know? So
maybe like, not lose, but if, like, the shambling corpse of Wild Bill came in as a Black Court vampire at the end of the ceremony, that would be fun.
He'd just get his ass blasted right back out the door. I'm not.
No, he's just coming to offer creepy, toothy greetings to the new happy couple, and then he's going to leave.
Yeah. Okay. Is there going to be a sense of no one gets to attack each other?
Yeah.
So, like, if a wedding, kind of like a peace talks, is meant to be like a sense of place of safety and no fighting up until someone crosses the line, and is going to be like, who crosses the line first and actually makes everything blow up?
Right.
How many things are they going to have to just grin and bear of, like, this person is insulting me by giving me a gift? Just like Bianca's party.
Well, I mean, yeah, it would be very much like the party. I imagine there'd be a bunch of different attempts to undercut and wheel and deal and all, you know, but.
And will Cal,
I mean,
be
do
there?
All of the accorded members show up? So you've got the ghouls. That's a problem. That's a Harry level problem for them to just show up. The Black Court, you know, there's a lot, like, I don't imagine the Fomor send a representative after what recently happened. I don't think they're even that brazen.
No, I think it would be safe to assume everyone that was at that little conference at the end would have a representative, I think, would be a safe assumption. I don't think the Black Court will be there unless it's to be like a Mavra thing, just kind of creepily doing their own whatever.
And somehow Mavra is going to be involved in Mirror Mirror, he said, so...
Ooh. Right. Yeah. Mavra's the fairy godmother in this case, you know.
I do hope Leah is involved. I miss Leah a lot. Shit.
Mavra's the Maleficent.
Yep.
Like, why didn't you invite me? You invited everybody else.
Leah's going to be doing couples counseling, obviously. She's going to be their support system.
Have you tried biting him?
And actually, she's talking to Harry in that instance, not even Laura. Yeah.
Oh, God. Maybe Laura, or no, yeah, Leah will be involved with the bachelorette party.
Oh, man.
No, Molly's got to run that, like, too.
Yeah, it's going to still have to be Molly.
Yeah, Molly's going to run it. I'm like, can they keep Leah away, is my first thought, because, like... I don't know.
That's... Could they? Maybe. But why would you want to? She seems like she'd be fun.
Yeah.
She would be fun.
Look, man, if everybody's not turned into hellhounds by the end of it, what are we even doing here? So,
okay, I didn't have a wedding when I got married. How far out are you supposed to do the bachelorette parties from the wedding itself? Because
I mean, I don't think there's a set time. Some people do it. Some people do it a week before. Some people, I'm sure, do it the weekend of. But. I think most, like, people do it a couple months before.
A lot of people do them, like, butting up to, you know, the event, right? They do, like, the night before.
But Is that going to be a month out? Is that going to be one of the, I mean, it's got to be an event, right?
Well, yeah, I think I got to imagine that would be part of it. I got to imagine that if Laura is serious about the wedding, that she would want something like that to happen. But I mean, Molly might do it if it's procedural and because we just like beating up on Molly this book, apparently, but it makes sense for a friend of Lara's or her sister's to run it. So, you know, and of course there's going to be male strippers because, you know.
No, it makes sense for Thomas to run it, but he's a little busy.
Well, Thomas would be doing the bachelor party, really, but.
Who's going to be the maid of honor? Is that again Molly? Because she's making it happen.
Molly's doing everything. She's officiating and maid of honor and best man.
No, I don't think Molly can officiate. Like, there's something about Molly officiating that it's just not going to, it doesn't, I mean, it's funny, but I don't think it's going to be someone who's much more official. So I lean towards like either Mab herself, Ivy, or Father Fort Hill. But then, of course, you would make it Catholic and that would be very awkward. But it's funny, like, whatever. But like the job of
Goodman Gray.
I hope he'll be there at least.
The job and he morphs into the Pope.
Right.
Yeah. They're supposed to help Catholic make it happen. That's literally what she's going to be doing.
Right.
And then I assume the rest of them would just be Lara's sisters if they're ambulatory.
Rough. That's too soon. It's been like 10 years and that's still too soon. Like.
Yeah,
there's, I mean, there's a whole other episode arguing about who's in the wedding party and for, in which capacity, right?
Because like, we've done several but I'm still going.
Yeah, Thomas would have absolutely been the best man, except that he's literally on ice, out of pocket. So I think that's where it's going to fall to Michael or one of the other knights.
So best man, you know. Michael, and maid of honor, Molly. Carpenters.
I mean, maybe it's interesting because in some wedding ceremonies, like they get paired off too, right?
Right.
Like even if they're not like a couple or whatever, you still, yeah. So that would be interesting to have her in the wedding party on the other side. But like Lara picks the wedding party. So unless Mab comes in and like puts her foot down or something, or Molly and Lara have a girl bond at some point. I don't really see that. Like,
no, it'll end up being Freitas just to piss off the director. You know.
Yeah.
Can Sigrun be in Harry's side then?
No.
Oh. She looks great in the suit.
Yeah, but she's working for Marcone and or Vatterung. She's not involved. He'll
probably be there.
Okay, so she could be his date. That doesn't make her part of the wedding party.
Right. She's there for his personal security. Like, I don't imagine anything else. Like Sigrun has a soft spot for Harry, obviously, but I don't know if it goes that far. Like,
I mean, of course she's gonna give a gift of mead, right? For the
honey. I think it's more like she's found his soft spot, so she knows where to stick the dagger. But yeah, no, I don't think she has a problem with him these days.
Mac better be the caterer.
I think they're going to do a little bit, you know, he's out. He doesn't do these sorts of things. They're probably going
to
hire
him. They're not trying
to
get him involved in something more than he would.
This is something come on. This is winter and white court. You don't want, he's out. No.
They all want steak sandwiches and beer.
No, they don't. Only Harry wants that. Nobody else wants that.
Mac is catering. Is that?
That's my assertion. Yes. That Mac is going to cater.
I'd be okay with it. So.
He might do something at like the, you know, the cocktail hour. Like he'll have a barrel.
If Laura really loved him, she'd do it. She'd somehow have like people pick up Burger King and bring it in. Be like, yes, we're doing a burger.
Give him a crown.
So, yeah. But a very princely wedding with Harry and his Burger King crown.
Right. So in these months, what's going to happen Valentine's Day?
They're going to cry about Thomas because that's when he was born.
Of course. But what are they going to do? Are they going to go down a love tunnel?
They're going to have to go have dinner or something, right? That's a public thing to do.
Or something in front of people.
I don't think. Ooh, see, like, that could be a good conflict where, like, Harry is there to fulfill the duty and Lara is trying to actually make inroads, and she gets her feelings hurt because she's making an effort and he's not, because that's going to be way too soon for him.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it'll have been like 7-ish, 8-ish months, you know, but
I mean, of course they will talk about Thomas. Of course they will bond. They will be vulnerable to each other and be sweet to each other at the same time. It's going
maybe.
To
it.
Then somebody will take a shot at them during the dinner.
Who will take a shot?
TBD until the end of the book.
King Corb comes in with a 6-month-old beard, like trying to shoot him or something, you know. So at the Fulmore are going to take a whack at him sometime, somewhere, just, you know, insert it. But, you know, like, oh, you
may be like an uppity warden.
Now's our time to strike. You know, like they go to Red Lobster and try to off Harry. So
the cheddar biscuits were on fire and it wasn't my
Navy
fault.
Pier, where it's really fancy and expensive, but that's it's right on the water. So,
yep.
So that he can imprison people really quickly if he needs to.
Yeah. Well, that's where the Fulmore
like
would
I
attack
you
too.
Last time. Alfred got another one.
Then they kill the Fulmore and then they become the sushi. It's perfect.
Nice.
It's what the author would do.
Right.
Elspeth better be there too.
Do we have to contend with an outsider at some point?
Of course. At least the threat of them, the discussion of them. And blood on his soul, right?
We kind of dealt with them a little bit.
Actually, since he's fucking around still, I guess he could be the main guy in the shadows taking pot shots.
This, so kind of like Molly's doing everything. Now I've got like an idea of like within 5 minutes, you get like 5 different people kicking the door and be like, I object to the wedding. And then like they fight each other for the honor of fighting Harry. So you got Ebenezer fighting with blood on his soul, fighting with, you know, Shag Nasty, fighting with, you know, Marcone. You know, it's just like they were like, dudes, take it outside. Like when one of you wins, then come back and talk to me. So
meanwhile, Molly's just like silent cheering from the sidelines, like, yes, yes, yes.
But she has to make it happen. She is under orders that she cannot defy to make it happen. Yeah, I wonder if the Red Cap would be there, but the Red Cap's kid's name was Ace. And is he
he's dead.
Alive?
He died. He died in cold days.
Yeah. But the Red Cap, his little moment in Peace Talks was great. Of just like, you think you're so smart and you're so not.
Yeah. Red Cap would be there because
he's running security.
Yeah. I mean, he'd probably be running the winter side of security anyway, so.
Oh, of course, Riley would be there, the named goon from Lara's side, that he was the one who showed up in jury duty.
Naturally. So. Maybe Hades comes topside for, you know, the first time in like 1,000 years. Just hang out.
Maybe brings Persephone with, because it's summer.
Sure, why not? Mm-hmm. Maybe he brings his dog with, so that Mouse has someone to hang out with.
Yes. Oh, Mouse is going to be the best man,
They have a puppy daycare, so.
Yeah.
Mouse as the ring bearer, obviously, like, well, you know, two riding mouse. Can we do that? You know, like we'll have them both. So. Sorry to say, guys, I think we got a couple more episodes to get through all of this. So,
yeah, there's tons more speculation. Is it? We've done several of these already and it just kind of continuing on until we get more content, and then when we do get more content, it just gives us more of a grounding for more speculation. So that's all we're going to do until the book is actually in our hands.
So you're welcome, everyone. But hey, I mean, we got the hour out of this and clearly more to go, so you know, maybe next time the Swede will actually join us.
All right. Next week, we're going back to Lord of the Rings, I believe.
I'm kind of glad in the sense that I'm like, I made it through the Battle of Pelennor Fields and like a chunk of the aftermath, but I don't think I finished book 5. So I was like, crap, but I got time. I got a week. to read like a chapter or whatever is left. So
let's see if this is possible. All right, we're going to discuss book five, which is the first half of Return of the King, next week for the While We Weren't Recording, and then we'll probably come back to more merge speculation.
That doesn't sound like us.
No, if anyone has a better topic, send them our way.
Right?
How dare you? This was a delightful show.
It was delightful. In our own way of being chaotic.
You don't need to add any sort of modifiers to it. Just, it was delightful. That's it.
It was delightful.
You don't need to, but probably should.
You know. I don't know. If the people are still watching us at this point, they know what we're about.
That's true.
Fair.
And everyone who's been sticking with us this long, we love you all.
Yeah, so pay us more money, please.